Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is like back-to-back years. We barely had a winter, knock on wood. But we're starting to look ahead to spring as the New York Yankees are back in action. They're down in Tampa. You got a cleanly shaven Gerrit Cole doing some bullpen sessions with Aaron Boone getting all excited. And you got these guys talking about the Astros again, and I don't blame them, and I'm not going to blame them every time they want to bring it up, because I would be pissed too if I was one of those players. I wouldn't let it consume me to the point that's all I was focusing on, but you can use it as a motivator. You can use that as a catalyst into a great season, and you know, I'm not trying to be you to touch the Yankees' money like you try to do all the time, but when I was seeing those guys yesterday, Gerrit Cole and Aaron Boone and Gary Sanchez, all these guys, I'm thinking, man, this team is just set up, aren't they? They are just set up for a huge year. I mean, the Red Sox are going through hell. I mean, they got like a 100-year-old Ron Renicki managing the team. You know, the Astros got Dusty Baker down there. They're a Jim Crane's got to hold some sort of big meeting to get them on the same page. Those are the two best teams in the American League the last couple of years. They're done this year, and the Yankees are just quietly just lurking, ready to take over Major League Baseball once again. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I think that you know, the Red Sox will end up naming Ron Renicki their manager, but they're just waiting for their penalties to come down from the commissioner's office. So that's what they're waiting for. I interviewed Rob Manfred yesterday for Game Time, and we had a lot of good conversations about all of this stuff. A couple of things that I took out of it. You know, number one, he firmly believes that there were no buzzers, that there was nothing else. And his investigative team sees everything that is out there. In other words, they are monitoring the media. They are looking at different aspects of what some of the claims are and all of that stuff. So he feels very, very confident that they got, you know, to the bottom of what was going on in Houston. And, you know, he believes that his penalties also act as a deterrent to further issues for you know, for managers and general managers and everything else. And they will make that abundantly clear to each manager and general manager as they move forward. So he did appreciate Mike Fiers' honesty in coming out, because that obviously was the impetus of the initial investigation after all the news came out, because they did receive complaints about other teams too, not just the Houston Astros, that they had to investigate, and they were unable to substantiate anything because nobody would give him anything. And it wasn't until Mike Fiers actually blew the whistle, if you will, that he was able then to really go deeply into this whole thing and go to the players, give them immunity, just so he could get to the bottom of what the hell was going on. So he does not believe that there were buzzers. And, you know, baseball is doing a lot of good things. You know, this whole partnership with Little League, when they bring the teams up to Williamsport and play a game. You know, they're doing the Field of Dreams games now out in the cornfields between the White Sox and the Yankees.
Yes.
He was telling me, I only have 8,500 seats for that game. There could be 85,000 sold. That's how much interest there is for it. And these things are all about creating events for baseball. They're trying to, you know, just get away from the mundane long season and this whole thing in regards to the playoffs and everything else, is trying to create more events. Because look, these are things that we haven't decided yet. These are things that we are considering though. And the reality TV show aspect of it's considered. It doesn't mean that we're going to do it, but you know, we're trying to come up with ways to engage our fans, to create more events. You know, the NHL did, you know, it's the Winter Classic. Mm-hmm. That's an event. They created an in-season event that has been received spectacularly by the NHL fan. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and I think that we tend to forget because we're in New York and the fan bases of the Yankees and Mets are so strong and we're always going to be paying attention to baseball and always going to be talking about baseball that it's not like that everywhere. So when you get some of the Yankee fan, Met fan, maybe even the older traditional fan that is so offended by some of these changes when it comes to Major League Baseball, it's because they're not looking outside of the New York baseball bubble.
And the other thing he's doing, you know, he goes, look, we take polls all the time from our fans. We are trying to listen to our fans. What did they want? And we're trying to build, you know, things that they want. And what they want is they want events. They want a faster pace of play, of course. And this whole notion about adding, you know, playoff teams and all that other stuff, it's like we want to keep our fans engaged. So we are going through all of these different scenarios as to see what our fans will really, really, truly want. And he wasn't, I can't say for certain, but I don't think he's a fan like you and I are not fans of the one and done in the wild card. We like the wild card, but we'd like to see a best out of three at least. So you don't get, you know, caught up with a one of these teams that has a great record being visited by another team that just has a great pitcher on the mound. And you could lose that game and all of what went on that season.
Right.
You know, the team with the better record then gets knocked out of the playoffs. So that's one of the reasons why that they're thinking if you go to a best of three series, you know, there's a better chance that the better team will win, but it also will make at least give a team, both teams, a home game, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, it also gets a ton of other markets involved, and that's why I like it. I understand why people don't want to see a big change like that, and they think that the regular season somehow is not going to mean as much. I think that's the exact opposite. The regular season will mean that much more when you've got more markets involved. So I don't have a problem with that. I actually like most of the stuff that Major League Baseball is doing. Now, I'm not one of these guys that starts to break out into hives when you change the rules of baseball. I mean, I've always been someone who wants to move it forward and let's change something. And we act like baseball hasn't changed in the past. You know, that's the thing that people, like, it's always changing. Well, it's always been something different that has gone on over these hundreds of years that you've played baseball. So, like just because you got a three-batter minimum now for relievers, you know, I like that. I don't want to sit there and watch lefty, right. Guy come in for one pitch, and then I got to sit through another pitch.
Well, I mean, it's not only that. I mean, that's one of the rules. You know, they're obviously going to decrease the roster sizes, you know, in September. With all the September call-ups, there's going to be a minimum amount of number of players there.
Yeah.
They did increase the roster by one player this year, which I think is going to be something that will be interesting to see how teams use that extra roster spot. You know, they're trying to – He goes, look, he said to me this off the air, which was, he's like, look, we're trying to make the game better for everybody. You know, our fans love home runs. They love home runs.
And that's why they juiced the balls last year, right?
He goes, our fans want to see home runs. They want to see that exciting play. I think he's kind of equating it to, you know, the three-pointer in the NBA. He's equating it to, you know, more offense in the NFL, where it's a little bit more open. The rules are, you know, kind of geared towards quality offense and quarterback play and things of that nature. So he goes, I know some pitchers don't like it, but the pitchers also are getting more strikeouts than ever before, too, because there's this whole strikeout or swing for the fences mentality.
Yeah.
So he knows exactly where the controversies lie. He knows that he has to make sure that he gets a handle on, you know, the athlete coach mentality in the dugout, because that's where the issues arise when it comes to integrity on the field. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to win at all cost. And he just wants to make sure that everybody realizes, because of the penalties that were handed down, and three managers ended up losing their jobs, a general manager ended up losing his job, that he's hoping that that's enough of a deterrent to keep teams from doing things like this that are obviously against the rules.
So let me ask you, about what time did you interview Rob Manfred yesterday?
It was probably around 5:30 in the afternoon.
5:30 in the afternoon. Did any part of you want to
take a nap?
No, of course, we understand that. But like shuffle him back down the hall and have him confront Evan Roberts, who just called him the worst commissioner in sports.
No, but I did read a Trevor Bauer tweet to Rob Manfred directly.
Oh, yeah. And we also saw that video. They're heard right. from that video at CeeLo
right.
played yesterday.
I couldn't play the video, but I could read the tweet. And right. the tweet basically said, look, you know, Rob Manfred is the one that reported it. So I'm going to have to go after Rob Manfred.
On the playoff thing, yeah.
It's absurd. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
He's a joke. Call him a joke.
And, Rob reacted in kind the way I thought that he would, professional, and said that, I think he said something like, that was disrespectful and it was uncalled for, that kind of thing. And I would have said the same thing. So, it was a good interview. I thought he was, I have a friendship with him. I opened the show by saying transparency. Our softball teams play against each other for, charity and things of that nature. So we do have a friendship. But I also asked them, the pointed questions about the main controversies. I didn't have enough time to ask him about Pete Rose. I wanted to talk to him about him, but I didn't get a chance to do that. To me, that's going to come up every year. And I just think that we all have to understand how Cooperstown is run and how Major League Baseball doesn't run Cooperstown. Basically, Cooperstown is run by a board, and that Jane Forbes Clark is the one who runs it. And as long as I think players are on some sort of banned list, they're going to use that banned list as a deterrent to be voted into the Hall of Fame. But I don't believe that Major League Baseball really cares if somebody goes into the Hall of Fame if they're on that list. They're not – I don't believe that they're tied together. Only the reason that they're tied together is because Cooperstown doesn't want to accept somebody that's on a banned list. That's what it made – that's how I felt about it, and I still think that that's the case.
Did you ask Rob Manfred about El Jefe, Carlos Beltran, and how involved it was? The Godfather, El Jefe, in the Astros clubhouse.
What I asked him about was, your report said it was player-driven when we all know that basically Codebreaker was coming from the front office.
Codebreaker.
And he was also talking about how Codebreaker, that particular situation, can be used by all teams. It just can't be used in live baseball games. So you can video all teams, you can video whatever you want to do, and you can use that scouting your opponent, but you can't use it in the middle of a live baseball game. And that's where the Houston Astros really, crossed the line. And that's where the Red Sox, with their Apple Watches, crossed the line.
Did he seem stressed out, Rob Manfred? Because if I was him right now, I'd be totally stressed out. I wouldn't be eating. I'd be thinking about this all the time. Did I do the right thing? I'd be losing all sorts of weight because I'd be skipping meals. No. I'd be chewing my fingernails all the time.
The thing that he's not stressed out about is that there are a lot of good things. This Field of Dreams game is going to be a huge success for them. The Little League game is a huge success for them. There are a lot of good things that they are doing. And they just want to – he also mentioned, the younger fan, the Gen Xers and, the millennials. And he goes,
WFA and the kid,
right,
people
whatever.
Like that. Yeah.
We want to engage all of our fans, and we want to do whatever we can. We don't want to be too hasty in our decisions. We just want to try to make the game interesting, keep our fan bases interested, and that's part of the reasons why they are considering – expanding the playoffs. But again, you have to remember, these are just ideas at the moment. These aren't things that are definitely happening. And I think you float ideas out there and you get the sense that now you can go out and ask your fan bases, do you want to expand the playoffs? Then you could start polling your fans and getting the data back that will ultimately make the decision for you.
And for Yankee fans, there's nothing that's going on right now in baseball that's going to stop them from winning a World Series this year.
I told you
that's
that.
That's it. So
they are loaded,
don't
man.
Worry about it. Doesn't matter. The two teams that were cheating, they're not cheating anymore. You could just slide right in. You got the best pitcher in baseball, who's not named Jacob DeGrom, on your team. So that's what you got. And it's fine, and your season's starting, and you don't need to freak out about it.
I did ask about Steve Cohen and the Mets. And
oh,
I just,
did you?
And I said I don't even know if
off the air.
Well, I don't know if we'll make it or not because it was a long interview and I only have a half an hour
floor.
With him. But,
yeah.
To me, he was like, Steve Cohen, if he wanted to buy the Mets, he could buy the Mets. There was no,
He's been vacillating on this Steve Cohen, Rob Manfred.
To me, he told me he didn't see a problem with it. But, that's the thing that I don't understand. So the the Mets go from, this fakakta deal with Steve Cohen. That's going to be a 5-year buy-in and have no say in the matter. to now where the Mets are up for sale that don't have those preconditions that are set. In other words, it's free and clear. And Steve Cohen owns 8% of the Mets. So instead of buying 80% of the Mets, why don't you just buy 92% of the Mets and take it over right now?
Yeah, should be able to. But
if
then,
if they're for sale, like they, like he said, he told me, yes, they are for sale. Allen Company has got them up for sale. And now the question is, now this is how I think. Did Cohen and the Wilpons kind of create this firestorm just to get interest?
Collusion.
And did they set the price at $2.8 billion or whatever it was for 80%?
That'd be much smarter than I think that the... Well, Steve Cohen's a very, very smart man, but I mean, that would be very, very shrewd and very, very intelligent. I don't know. To me, that seems like a extremely elaborate just to drive the price up, but that's just me. But I mean, Steve Cohen might be also thinking too, like, let's say they weren't in cahoots together. You could be also thinking like, screw these guys. Like, I went through this. I don't like this. I'm walking away. Hopefully there's a higher bid. I don't want to deal with these people again.
I will say that, you know, one of the baseball stadiums that is really interesting in the way the whole thing went down was the Atlanta Braves and where they built that stadium and what has happened around that stadium. And when you think about that and you think about the potential over at Citi Field to develop other land over there and do things, you know, there is a chance to make a lot of money outside of baseball where the developers don't have to share that money with the players.
Yeah, because right now it's not really a place you want to hang out after the ninth inning, right?
Right.
I mean, you want to get in your car, you want to get on the train, you want to get home. It's not a place where like, oh, let's go grab a beer over here on Roosevelt Avenue.
I have a buddy who's got a brother who lives down in the kind of the shadows of the new Atlanta Stadium where it's out of the city and it's north of the city.
Lives in the shadows.
But he lives like in this new like community that has been built up around this whole stadium. It's like what they did up in Foxborough with the Gillette Stadium.
Right.
So there is this whole other aspect of what's going on. And I think that's also happening with the Golden State Warriors and their new downtown stadium, that we're going to build a stadium downtown San Francisco, but we're also going to have, kind of building rights around the stadium to be able to also make more money doing that where we don't have to share that with the players.
And have a new place for the homeless people to hang out. That's another another perk there, that new stadium.
Yes.
All right, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back. We will find out if Rutgers lost because he infected the team with influenza A.
I thought the team looked a little sluggish.
Yeah, sick actually. Everybody looked with a peaked, you know, that you could peek it in their face and something was wrong. It looked like there was some sort of virus coursing through at least three quarters of the team. But I don't know. That's just from me watching on TV. So we'll ask Jerry because he got a chance to see it up close.
Drop dead.
We will talk to him in just a couple of minutes. But I want to tell you about the Long Island Boat Show. It's back. This year's show will be taking place at NYCB Live, home of the Nassau Coliseum.
You going?
I can. I'm going to be out in Vegas, February 21st through the 23rd. That's the weekend I'm out to see Wilder.
Maybe I'll go buy a regulator. For S's and giggles.
Yeah, for S's and giggles.
You got a slip in your back? No, you don't have one in the backyard.
No, I don't. Come on.
Why don't you live on a canal? A guy like you should be on a canal.
Or just have them build a canal.
I mean,
maybe they could build like a river to your house.
And just dredge up that street.
Yeah.
You grossly overrate where I'm at in my life. You really do. It's nice. I'm glad. I'm flattered by that. But at the same time, I think you don't understand.
A little bulkheading, no problem.
No problem. Okay.
You can probably do it yourself.
I can't even get a Pondicherry headboard up my steps, much less a man-made canal in my backyard. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.